Direct your attention this evening to Psalm 65, verses 1 and 2 for our text this evening. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 65 is a song of praise breathed out by the Holy Spirit of God for the great mercy with which God blesses His people. Psalm 65 celebrates God's gracious provision for His people in providing atonement for their sins through the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Psalm 65 also celebrates God's gracious provision so that His redeemed people may approach Him in the glory of heaven to worship Him and pray and perform their vows and dwell in His holy courts. Psalm 65 also praises God for His work of creation and His daily power by which He upholds and governs and provides for all His creatures and blesses man in his work here on the earth. The psalm begins, "Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion." What is Zion? Zion is one of the hills on which Jerusalem stood. It's first mentioned in the Old Testament as the seat of the Jebusite fortress. David captured this stronghold and changed its name to the City of David. David brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to Mount Zion. And after Solomon built the temple on Mount Moriah, the name Zion in Scripture is used to refer to the holy place where God Himself met with His people who gathered in a holy convocation to worship Him. Zion is the place where the redeemed of the Lord gather to praise and worship the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, the Holy Spirit of God tells us that when we gather on the Lord's Day for public corporate worship, we as God's redeemed covenant people come to Mount Zion. We come to the city of the living God. In public worship, we come to the heavenly Jerusalem. We come to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to His blood, the blood of sprinkling, the blood of cleansing, that speaks better things than the blood of Abel, because the blood of Jesus takes away our sins. The altar around which we gather is not here on this earth. That's why there's no altar in the front of a church. No, by faith we gather in heaven. We gather before the altar on which the Lord Jesus Christ offered Himself as the atonement for our sins. All other altars here on this earth are idolatrous inventions, whether they are made of stone or they are made of wood or they are made of metal. They are the beggarly elements to which men turn rather than bowing themselves before the holy altar of God which is in heaven, where He calls us before His holy presence to offer to Him continually the sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of our lips. Holy places made with human hands are now abolished. Once, before the coming of Christ, God instituted them as figures, types, and shadows of the true holy place in heaven. But now that Jesus Christ, the substance, has come, the type, the shadow, is done away with. The all-glorious person of the Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is the great center of Zion, the true temple of the living God. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the heart of the living church of God. Jesus Christ is the great high priest. Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice that takes away sin. Wherever God's people gather to worship the risen and reigning Savior, wherever God's people gather around God's holy altar in heaven, wherever the church of Jesus Christ rejoices in the Lord, who has offered Himself for us as the only sacrifice for sin, wherever the church comes before the throne of God's grace and mercy, there is Zion. There is the heavenly Jerusalem. There is the city of the living God. In Psalm 65, we are commanded, we are exhorted to offer worship unto God. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. We worship the Lord with exultant thanksgiving. Psalm 147, verse 12 says, "Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion." And Psalm 149, verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King." Holy angels and the saints whom God has made perfect in holiness gather around God's holy presence in heaven and delight to praise the Lord forever. The Lord Himself says in Psalm 50, verse 23, "Whoever offers praise glorifies Me." We tend to undervalue praise as part of the public worship of God. Do you see prayer as a more important part of the worship than praise? Do you read the Bible, pray, and praise the Lord as families each day in your homes? You pray privately for the things that you need. Are you as diligent also in private thanksgiving and private adoration of the Lord? In everything we are to give thanks. And that is just as much God's command to us as in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. If we would be healthy in spirit, let us thank God abundantly and continually. Praise is what we return to God for the boundless favors which we enjoy from His gracious hand. Let us not be slack in praising God with our best music, with the music of a devoted heart. Psalm 135, verse 3 says, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is pleasant." We give praise to God. Our text says, "Praise waits for you, O God, in Zion. We give praise only to God, for he will not share his praise with any other. We do not give praise to any man or any other person who may pretend to be worthy of praise. We do not praise the saints. We do not praise men. We do not praise the Virgin Mary. We do not praise the martyrs. We do not praise the dead. Praise waits for you, O God, in Zion. Unto God and unto God alone, the true church of God offers praise. We make the tune and the way of singing to be more important than the words or the content of praise to God that we sing. We are singing praise for ourselves, not for God. Praising God is not about people performing on instruments or in choirs. When we praise the Lord, our hearts and our mind should be filled with the person and the character and the works and the mercies and the goodness of the Lord. It should be filled with the Word of God. God's house is set apart to the Lord, but too often we make it a place for our own enjoyment as we enjoy people in what they do. On the other hand, we must praise God with all of our heart and with all of our breath. We must sing with the soul and with the mind. Only this is pleasing and acceptable to God. We do not gather to amuse ourselves or to display our abilities. No, we come and we humbly bow at the footstool of the great King of all the earth to adore the triune God, to whom alone be glory forever and ever. True praise is for God and for God alone. We do not gather to praise a man. We do not gather to praise a human being. We do not gather to praise one another, or to praise the one who brings the word of God to us. No, we gather to praise the Lord and to praise him alone. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says that he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is a spirit. Those who praise him must praise him in spirit, that is, in the Holy Spirit, and in truth, that is, according to his revealed word. For the Father in heaven seeks such people to worship him. He seeks such people to praise him, and he seeks only such people to praise him. And if we do not lift up our eyes and our hearts unto God, we're only pretending to praise him. We should reverently and earnestly praise the Lord of hosts. We should seek to exalt and to lift up his glory. Our text says, praise waits for you, O God, in Zion. The Hebrew word translated is awaiting or waits means to be silent, to be at rest, and therefore to be waiting. God's goodness to his people gives constant reason to praise him. We wait for you, O God, who dwells in Zion. You are here. We are gathered in your presence. We are gathered before your face. We are ready to worship you. We are ready to praise you, O God. Your people are assembled before you, O Lord. Their hearts are prepared to serve and to worship and to praise you, the true and living God. The praises of the saints wait for the Lord to reveal himself in the assembly of his church. Praise waits like a servant waiting in the courts of the Lord of hosts. True gratitude to the living God is patient, humble, and obedient. Praise attends the Lord's pleasure. We're standing here ready. We're ready to hear your word. We're ready to behold your works. We're ready to dedicate ourselves to your service. We do not want any more fleshly intrusions. We do not want any more fleshly counterfeits. We are now ready to worship you in spirit and in truth. We do not want any more worldly distractions. We are ready to meet with you, our God. We should praise God continually. We should continually offer to God thanksgiving, which is made up of humility and gratitude and love and consecration and holy joy in the Lord. It should be for the Lord alone. And it should never go out day or night. His mercy endures forever. Let our praises endure forever. We should praise him with the rising of the sun. We should praise him when the sun has set. The Bible says one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Could the mercy of God to us cease? If it could, there might be some excuse to stop praising him. But even if it seems to us that the mercy of God ceases, those who love the Lord will say with Job, that faithful and persevering servant of God, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not also receive evil? The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let our praise continue, abide, remain, and be perpetual. Fall asleep blessing God. Let your hearts leap in his presence during the day. And all day long in every task and in every rest and recreation, your soul should spontaneously pour forth praise, even as the birds sing and the flowers perfume the air and the sun shines on the earth. Praise waits for you means that praise must always be humble. The servants wait in the king's palace. There the messengers stand ready for any mission, ready to obey the king. Our praises should stand like ranks of messengers waiting to hear what the will of God is. True thanksgiving and praise is in actually doing God's will. It is true praise to wait on the Lord and to delight to do his will here on earth as the angels do it in heaven. God is our Father, and therefore we humbly and solemnly bow in his presence. Praise waits for you. Praise is awaiting you, O God, with a servant's ear to hear, with a servant's heart to obey. Praise bows at your footstool, feeling that it is still an unprofitable servant. Praise waits for God expectantly. When we praise God, we expect to see more of him, and therefore we wait for him. We bless the king, but we desire to draw nearer to him. We desire greater fellowship and communion with him. We desire greater blessings from him. We magnify him for what we have seen, for what we have received. And we eagerly expect to receive more. Not because we are worthy, but because He is so gracious, because He gives so abundantly all things through our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise Him in His heavenly courts, and we look forward to dwelling in His heavenly presence forever and ever, world without end. His mercies to us never fail. We have our children still with us, our grandchildren. We have our dear family and relatives. We have bread to eat and clothes to wear. God has preserved us in His grace and in godly character. God has preserved us today from the snares of the enemy and the wicked one. These are the mercies of God to us, and for all these our praises shall wait upon God. Yes, iniquities and sin prevail against us, but even our transgressions, God has provided full and complete atonement for. God's infinite love cleanses us from our sin. Though we were black and filthy, He's washed us in the blood of Jesus Christ, the priceless blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Praise Him for this. Let your praise be awaiting the Lord in Zion for His redemption, for the forgiveness of sins. God brings us near into His own heavenly presence through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, because of His electing love. There are endless reasons for praising Him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and has given Himself for us. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Let us then praise Him with all of our being. But in this verse, the Lord not only says, "Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion," but also, "and to you the vow shall be performed." Vows are part of the religious worship of God. We vow to serve Him with all that is in us, to forsake the world, to resist the devil, to put to death our sinful deeds and desires, and to lead a godly life. We vow to participate faithfully in the church's worship and service, to submit in the Lord to the government of the church, to heed God's discipline through those whom He has appointed to rule in His church, even when we are delinquent in doctrine or in life. We give ourselves up to Him, to be His forever and ever. Oh, brothers and sisters, it is a part of worship to perform our vows to the Lord. Renew your vows to God this evening in the assembly of His people, and purpose not to indulge the sins of your flesh, nor to be enticed by the devil to stray and wander from the Lord and from His way of life, but purpose with all of your heart and seek the grace and strength of the Holy Spirit to serve the Lord still more faithfully. Seek to honor Christ by holy living. Endeavor to increase the church by propagating the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Speak of it to those in your life and whom God brings across your path. Seek the unity and the comfort of the Church of Jesus Christ by your own love and sympathy for all the members of Christ. We have no right to join with the Church of Jesus Christ if we do not give ourselves up to Jesus Christ to serve Him and to serve the prosperity and the increase of His people. And as pastor and elders, we have vowed to be godly examples and to faithfully shepherd and feed the flock of God over which the Holy Spirit has made us overseers. And we must keep our vows and perform them unto the Lord. In verse 2 of this psalm, the Lord encourages us in worship and praise and in performing our vows by saying, O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. God hears prayer. And if God hears our prayers, then He also hears our praise. And this is a great encouragement. Unto you all flesh shall come. My feeble, broken prayer, my groaning cries to God, He hears. He works in me by His Holy Spirit. And therefore, when I cry to Him, in spite of all my faults, in spite of all my sins, when I come to God and cry out to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, when I praise Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, He hears. When I seek to perform my vows through the strength that Christ gives me, He sees and He hears. God hears prayer. God receives those who come to Him in true worship. It is delightful to know that God always hears the praise that we bring to Him. Even if we're just a little child, even if we're a poor, unworthy sinner, God hears the praise and the prayers that we bring to Him, and He accepts them. In spite of all their imperfections, He receives them. He always hears me. Therefore, praise and magnify the Lord and cry out to Him without ceasing. All flesh shall come to God because He hears prayer. The mighty of the earth shall present praise to the Lord, and the poorest of the poor shall praise the Lord, for God will not reject any who come to Him through Jesus Christ. Unto Him all flesh shall come, and there's not one that He will exclude. All flesh shall come to Him, and He will receive them from all sorts of people, from all classes and conditions of men. He will not reject anyone who comes to Him through Jesus Christ. He will not reject your prayers. He will not reject your praise. He will not reject your service or your vows that you perform if you come to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Come then, let us praise the Lord. Let us worship and bow down before Him. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for we are the people of His pasture. We are the sheep of His hands. And He hears us. He delights in us. He receives us in grace and in mercy. There may be difficulties in your way, sins that you battle in your life, in your heart, and in your mind. There may be infirmities or weaknesses or trials or afflictions or persecution that seem to hinder you. God has provided complete and full atonement for our sins through His Son, Jesus Christ. No matter what infirmities may hinder you, note the word of God's own help. Blessed is the man whom you choose. Blessed is the man whom you cause to approach unto you. The Lord Himself will come to your aid. The Lord will lead you to Himself. And He will enable you to overcome all those infirmities and weaknesses and sins by His own grace. Perhaps your emptiness hinders you. You will be satisfied with the goodness of God's house. It's not your goodness that satisfies either God or you, but God's goodness satisfies you. Come then with your iniquity. Come with your infirmities. Come with your emptiness. Come with your wrestling, with your struggles, with your trials, with your burdens. Come, dear brothers and sisters, come to God. Come to Him through Jesus Christ. Come and confess your sin to the Lord and ask for His mercy. Come and trust in His mercy, for His mercy endures forever. It has no limit. His grace is greater than all of our sins. He is not harsh. He is not unkind. Come and lay yourself down at His feet. Come and tell Him your grief. Pour out your heart before Him. Turn yourself upside down. Drain out the last dreg. And pray that He will fill you with the fullness of His grace. Come to Jesus. He invites you. He enables you. He strengthens you. If you pray, if you cry out to Him, if you lift up your heart in praise to His holy name, He will receive you through His Son, Jesus Christ, because He hears graciously. And therefore all flesh shall come to Him. You are welcome. No one can tell you no. Come, yes, come unto Jesus Christ. He welcomes you in His mercy. And He surrounds you with His everlasting love, with His everlasting arms. May He by the Spirit draw you unto Himself even now, through the way of the cross of the Lord Jesus, so that you come resting in His precious atoning sacrifice, believing in Jesus unto everlasting life. For He has said, "He who comes to Me, I will in no wise cast out." Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, come to You this evening, unworthy sinners, corrupted, defiled, those who are not able to keep themselves alive, those who deserve nothing, but yet we come expecting everything because praise in our hearts is waiting for You, O God, in Your holy place, where You have provided the full and complete atonement for all of our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of all those whom You have chosen to save and to bring by the Spirit unto everlasting life. Father, may we come with true praise, with true faith, with true humility. And may we come as true servants, not for a moment, not for an hour, not for a day, but for life and for eternity. And Father, we pray that You will bring to our mind those vows that we have made. And when we are tempted to break them, when we are tempted to sin against You, to transgress Your holy word, remind us and strengthen us and enable us to keep the vows that we have made unto You in the holy bonds of marriage, in baptism, in public profession of faith, or in other offices and duties that You have laid upon us. And Father, we pray that we may know that You hear prayer. Sometimes we think that You do not hear prayer because we pray and we pray and we pray, and yet we do not see what Your answer is. So, Father, we pray that You will give us faith to believe that indeed You hear the cries of our hearts, and You will answer according to Your own good pleasure in Your grace and mercy and love. Make us then Your faithful servants, and make us to delight to worship You, and fill us with Your joy and with Your own presence as we gather together as Your people, that we may go to our homes refreshed and strengthened for the tasks that lie before us. We pray it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, asking that He will call unto Himself all whom He has ordained unto everlasting life. And we will praise You with all of the saints forever and ever. Amen.